It's here. It's time. It's here. It's time. It's the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show.
Let's go.
This is Bishop Kevin Foreman. You listen to Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show on the Uncommon Gospel Radio Network. Not your ordinary praise. This is not your ordinary radio show.
Listen, guys, I am so excited to bring this show to you every single week. Thank you so much for your response. Thank you so much for your love on social media. Keep it coming. There's an old school R&B song that says, don't stop your love. Do not stop your love. Send it to me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Bishop Foreman, BishopForeman. And I'd appreciate that. And on Snapchat, it's Dr. Kevin Foreman, DrKevinForeman. So listen, y'all, last week, it was an awesome show. So last week, my good friend of, 13 years, Bishop Roy Bright, did an interview, started doing some interviews with me. We talked about a lot. We talked about friendship. We talked about the importance of people in your life, and it was a phenomenal show. So I want to mix it up a little bit. Another friend of mine who you've heard on this show before, Dr. Ramos, all the way from the Shy, he is going to join us this week, and we're going to finish we're going to do the next installation of the interview segment of me. So many people had questions about who is Bishop Foreman and what does Bishop Foreman do and what's Bishop Foreman's philosophy of ministry and how to visit. I mean, so many great questions, and we just simply wanted to answer those questions. So I've got him on the show today. If you're part of Harvest, you'll remember that we were able to send some support to an organization that he has that deals with sex trafficking and rescuing individuals being sex trafficked, and we had the great privilege of being able to support their efforts at this last Super Bowl, which was in the ATL, and he is back on Man of God. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Bishop. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Now, did you see how I did that? I did Man of God, because you come from some deep Pentecostal roots, and so y'all don't say Man of God, y'all say Man of God.
Shundo, absolutely correct.
You did not just do the fake talk. Hey, listen, guys, just tune into the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. Listen, we keep it real here so that you can be healed. And you know what? We've had some incredible shows so far. We've talked about your credit and finances. We've talked about breaking generational curses. We have talked about grieving and how you can be grieving and not know it. We have talked about a variety of phenomenal things that have been such a blessing to people. We talked about friendships and relationships, and we talked about love. I mean, just some great shows. And so Bishop Bright, my good friend, last week we talked about friendship, and we talked about lots of great things around that subject. And so I thought it would be great to mix it up a little bit and have another friend of ours to ask me some questions and do some interview segments with me, and really sort of reverse the table, because you've been hearing me interview people, and so sort of reverse it to where I'm being interviewed. And so, you know, tell me this, Dr. Ramos, what's the importance of having good people in your life? And when I say good, I don't mean good because what they have to say to you always makes you feel good. I mean good because they add value to your life. Why is that so important? Because I think in today's culture, there's so many people who struggle in that area of getting good people in their life.
Yeah. Well, it's so important, number one, because they really edify you as an individual. And like you said, it's not that they're telling you what you want to hear. They're not always telling you that, things that are sugar-coated. They're being honest. They're being real with you. And when people are being real and honest with you, that shows where you have room for growth. You have room for elevation. And so they really begin to put you on a path of greatness. Great friends make great people. I tell people all the time, it's really not about the number of people who are around you, but the quality of the people. You can have two, possibly three people who are close to you, who build you up, who are honest, who are who they are is what you see, and compared to hundreds of people who are just fake and mean, you no good, and you aren't growing. If you're at the same place a year from now, after knowing these people and they have not elevated you or advanced your life in any way, then I would really begin to take inventory of the people around me. So people are good. Good people are around you. Good people being around you are excellent in building you and edifying you, and not just in the natural but also in the spiritual, because you have people to bounce ideas off of, people who you can go to, people who can feed into your life, people who aren't just pulling away from you and sucking all of your strength, but they're able to give life to you. That's why scripture says, he who has a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That says a lot right there, because this goes beyond DNA. DNA is no longer, or should I say, friendship or brotherhood or sisterhood. These things are no longer defined by DNA. These things are now defined by relationships, because there are people who share our DNA. They aren't concerned about us. They're not on the path that we are on. They're not looking for us to grow or do better. But friends who can connect with us, who can build us, who can edify us, now those are really our brothers and our sisters.
That's so good. And I love what you said, you know, because we talked about, I did a series that that was a fantastic series a little while back called Modern Family. And we talked about how Jesus redefined family. There's a time in the Bible where the Bible says that Jesus' mother and brother show up to speak to him. He's in the middle of preaching and teaching when they show up to speak with him. And when they show up to speak with him, one of his guys interrupts him and says, "Sir, your master, you know, teacher, your mother and brother's outside." And Jesus' response is astounding. Jesus says, "Who is my mother and my brother?" He then points to his disciples and says, "This is my mother and my brother. These are my mother and my brother." He says, "Whoever does the will of my father, these are my mother and brother." And it's amazing because Jesus redefines family and relatives, which is so important. Because family means we're headed in the same direction, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we share the same blood. Right. Relatives means that we share common ancestry. And I think that's important. But many times, if we're honest, in that Bible and in life, a lot of the bad decisions people make are behind family that means well but doesn't know any better. Right. And I think that's so important. If you look at the places where, even if you look at Moses was betrayed and had lots of issues within the nation by his own blood. You look throughout the scriptures, you can see that happening. And so, one, for people listening, if you got issues amongst your bloodline and then with your relatives, you need to know, even Jesus did. There's so many levels there that I think come out that we don't sometimes think about. Like, where's Joseph? Some scholars say, well, Joseph passed away. The scripture doesn't explicitly say that. All we know is that Joseph is there at 12 when Jesus is, he goes, he's in the temple, they lose him for 3 days, and they come back, and he says to his mother, "Woman, did you not know I must be about my father's business?" But we don't see much more mention of Joseph after that. Joseph isn't at the crusades. Joseph isn't at the healing. Joseph isn't at the crucifixion. We further can use through deductive logic, it suggests to us that Joseph, that it wasn't necessarily that Joseph was dead, because in Hebrew culture, then the oldest son should have been stepped up. But Jesus was out preaching and doing things, and his brothers weren't part of what he was doing, which suggests to us that there was some kind of deeper family rift or something going on. Not to mention his relative John the Baptist, who we call him his cousin, but we don't really know that that's the relationship. They're related somehow, but we don't know specifically how. One could assume through deductive logic that's the level of relation. Here's the point. There's all of these different levels of things that are there that suggest that it wasn't a normal, quote-unquote, American family. And I think that's so important, because sometimes people can think something's wrong because theirs isn't, quote-unquote, the normal, picturesque American family. Even Jesus didn't have that. But number two, when you look at the people that were around Jesus, the closest one to Jesus, according to the scriptures, was John. And you look at the value John brought. John, the Bible says he was the beloved disciple that laid his head on the master's bosom. John really brought a level of comfort to Jesus, so much so that Jesus was able to give John revelation. It suggests that John didn't just take from Jesus, but he added to Jesus. And isn't that really what you're saying? That people sitting at your table can't just take from you, they got to add to you also?
Absolutely. They really do, because that's where that bond is formed. That's where those relationships are beginning. And they have to feed into you. They really do. If you're, again, like I said, and I'll just touch on quickly again, if you're at the same place where you were when you first met them, and now you're at 1 year, 2 years, 3 years later, then you know what? You don't have a relationship. I don't know what it is, but it's not a relationship. It's not a friendship, because friendships build. So absolutely.
Absolutely. That's so good. Hey, listen, guys, we're going to get into some questions and answers. And Dr. Ramos, now say your last name. Remember, the first time you were on the show, we were joking around with this. So say your last name.
It's Ramos.
Rock, see, there you go. See, and I have southern Spanish, and so it's Ramos for me. But listen, when we come back today, we're talking people in your circle, people at the table, and Q&A for Bishop Foreman. It's going to be good. Don't go anywhere, right here on the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show.
Count me through thick and thin, our friendship I will never end. When you are weak, I will be strong, helping you to carry.
About people at your table, friendship, people adding value, and answering some questions because you all wanted to know more about me. So we're just responding to what you asked. You said we want to hear more about Bishop Foreman. So I want to get those questions answered for you. So we got my friend on the line, Dr. Ramos. Last week it was Bishop Wright, and Bishop Wright's going to come back because Bishop Wright's got some great questions, as he always does. And you're going to enjoy him and Dr. Zayed
Ramos.
Ramos, which again, if you have Southern Spanish, if you have Southern Spanish, then it is Ramos. Hey, so my friend, people want to know some more about Bishop Foreman, so we're going to turn it over to you and give you the microphone and let you host the show, at least for the next 15 minutes.
I appreciate it. So obviously, Bishop, you know you are an intriguing person. You're an exciting man of God, and you have such life and vitality. And people do want to know about you. What makes Bishop Foreman tick? So I don't want to go on the personal things just yet. I want to keep it a little surface, to be honest. And because you've done a lot. You're not an old man. And you've accomplished more things, or greater things, if you will, than people who are truthfully double your age. So in relationship to business, you've started a few businesses, and you've touched on that before. And so not to be redundant on that, what makes Bishop Kevin Foreman tick? What inspires you? What gives you the energy not to become slothful, to become lazy, but to continuously build?
That's such a good question. You know, Bishop Wright asked a similar question, and I will tell you this. I will tell you what makes me tick is really changing lives. Everything that I do, everything that I am part of, ultimately has to have the effect of changing the lives of people and impacting their lives for the better. And that's very generic, but it is very true. And it is, you know, it is how I gauge where it is that I put my gas, right? And so a lot of times we put energy into things that aren't necessarily, you know, there's this old school saying that says only what you do for Christ will last. And although it's not an explicit verse, it is intrinsic in biblical principle. And so in that, that's what really drives me. I want to see the lives of people change and impact it. I've been that way since I was a little kid. You know, when I was a little kid, I was involved in student council and things like that. And I would have my whole cabinet follow me around the school courtyard, and I have my assistant taking notes, and let's do this, let's do that, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. I have my, you know, the vice president, you know, student council next to me, say, look, we got to do this, we got to change this. I'd be going in and meet with the principal, say, okay, I'm going to meet with the principal. They'd be like, you know, we don't have a meeting schedule. There's no meeting schedule. I know, but I need to see the principal because we need to talk about this. So I just was always handling business. I mean, that just was me. And so, but I was doing it on behalf of those who I represented. And so I think that's really what makes me tick, is changing lives. And then ultimately, of course, you know, that is glorifying God. At the end of the day, I want to stand in front of God, and I want him to say, son, you did a heaven of a job down there. I wanted to say I did a great job, and I want to please him, and so that drives me. That's why I don't get lazy. That's not to say we don't all have human moments, but it's why good is not good enough. Excellent is is what's acceptable to me. That's why getting by is not going to fly with me, because I want to be able to – everything that I do, I want it to be a great expression of God and his excellence. And he wasn't slothful with me. He wasn't sloppy and half put together with me, so I shouldn't be that way with him.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. I feel a fake tongue coming. Dude, that's awesome. But
oh, my God.
Now that we've done that, we've gotten the deep portion out of the way. So let's get to know Bishop as a person. So tell me, Bishop, what do you like to do for enjoyment? Do you go for walks? Do you do picnics? What does Bishop Foreman do when he isn't building the kingdom? You know, everyone has that time when they need to rebuild themselves and they need to do things that that just brings them pleasure. What do you enjoy doing?
You know, that's a good question. I can really enjoy anything. So I enjoy quality over quantity. So most things. I won't say everything. I don't like absolutes. But I enjoy really good conversation. Conversations can be healing. And so, you know, I believe in keeping my circle tight, keeping my circle right. And so
I believe that good conversation, believe it or not, that's actually very enjoyable for me. It's enjoyable. That Bible says iron sharpens iron. And sometimes when you are iron, you will be tempted to have conversations with aluminum because aluminum is all that's available. I just said something like that. The problem is that aluminum can't handle the strength of the conversation of iron. In fact, aluminum will say iron that's just too much. It doesn't take all of that. You just, you know, just maybe just do this, maybe just do that. Iron will tick aluminum off. And so to me, I enjoy conversation, and I can enjoy simple things. I can bowl. I'm not very great after like the first two frames, but I can bowl. After that, like the first two, you might get a couple of strikes, maybe a spare. After that, I just put up the kiddie rails because for whatever reason, just a couple of those first two go. But I can do that. I enjoy, believe it or not, for years I was not a big outdoor type of person, but I actually enjoy outdoors and exercise and fitness. Now, I'm not saying I'm hiking 14,000 foot mountains and stuff. I'm not saying I'm doing all that, but I enjoy that. I can really get enjoyment out of very simple things. Years ago, Bishop Bright hit me to this card game, Phase 10. And for like 2-3 years straight, that was just it, you know. So I can really find enjoyment out of very simple things. But I enjoy what brings me great joy is being able to have great quality conversation, a great meal with great folks, great conversation. Those things, very simple things, can bring me great enjoyment. And, you know, and of course, I like eating. Anybody that's ever watched anything on Harvest knows that I have a love affair with white bread and butter that I'm getting healed from. But listen, I lost 95 pounds. So as far as I'm concerned, that love affair is an affair that, you know, I'm good with. But eventually I'm going to, you know, curve that too. So I could enjoy anything, anywhere. Got to make the best of it.
Now, thanks for that, Bishop. But since I know a little bit more about you than the average listener, I also know that you enjoy water. You enjoy being next to water. Do you just like the stroll? Do you like the sound? What is it? Do you like jumping in it?
That's so true. So, yes, I love water. Anyone who knows anything about me, that like you said, more so than their own person knows, I do love water. Now, let's clarify that. That doesn't mean, you know, necessarily being out on a boat on the water. That's not necessarily what that means. Not that I'm against that, but not just necessarily that. It's just water. So I literally, in my home, I may walk in the house. You've probably been on the phone with me, Bishop Bryan, in a moment. I walk in my house. I will turn the water on and walk off and go do something else. He said, "Do you have water running?" And I do. And I never paid attention to it until people would say something, and I would say, "My goodness, I always have the water running." Even when it comes down to my showers, I will let the water run. I like it steamy like a sauna when I walk in there. But I will tell you, it is because, and here's what I was able to figure out. I said, "I don't know why I do that," but here's what I was able to figure out. There's actually a spiritual reason for it. Water scripturally represents the spirit. And so water was a representation of the spirit. And so what's really amazing about it is that whenever I am next to water, close to water, hear water running, it becomes a way that God's voice is a conduit, and it flows very freely. And so prophetic people who are listening to this, you experience the same thing. Whenever you're next to water, you hear the water running, your greatest creativity will come while you're in the shower, while you're in the bathtub, while you're next to water, while water is running. That's when all of your answers, things that you have been like, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? Stuff you've been trying to figure out, all of a sudden those answers will just hit you. It is because there's a real spiritual significance to water. So that's the reason why I like water. And I absolutely do. And people literally will say, you know, oh, my God, you just left our water on. And the truth is that I absolutely did, because it literally, it's peaceful to me. In fact, I don't even hear it running because it is peace. It is like the spirit is flowing in and around. And so I literally don't even hear it. That's a good question.
So,
and it's a good time for a break.
Yeah. You got to stop teasing me with that. But it is a good time for a break, too. We're going to go listen to some awesome gospel music that's going to get you in the flow of the Spirit. You see how I connected those two? So, just like I have water running, we're going to let some music come to get you in the flow of the Spirit. When we come back, we're doing what you asked. You guys said we want to know more about Bishop Foreman. I got my friend on the line who's going to ask you some more questions about, or ask me some more questions. And but it's bigger than just finding out more about me. It is also really understanding and discovering the importance of having quality people at your table. In 2019, there should be nobody sitting at your table that doesn't bring something to your table. You're listening to the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. We'll be right back.
All right. Ooh, yeah. It's a simple song. Yesterday, a man stared up to me. Said, how can you smile when your world is crumbling down? I said, in my secret, when I want to cry, I take a look around and I see that I'm getting by.
Truth can hurt you, Well, the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just wanna be happy. But if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame if I'm not happy. Wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me. So I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
Preach.
If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way. Don't get stuck in how you feel. Say, Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
But it only works if
you want to be happy.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you want to be happy?
Yeah.
I just want to be happy. But if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start. So I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep. Shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
If I'm talking to you, then say,
if you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing,
been there too long.
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Say, Jesus, take the wheel. He knows the road that you need to take.
I feel this one right here.
It's so easy to complain. Addicted to the pain.
Yes.
You give your heart, they push it away.
But I got good news for you.
Jesus knows.
Hallelujah.
The love you need, he already gave.
But the question is,
do you want to be happy?
If you're tired of you, then say,
I just want to be happy.
Now, if you really mean that, open up your heart and say,
let me hear you say, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're tired of going in circles,
let me hear you say, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Tired of making the same mistakes.
Let me hear you say, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But now's your chance.
Let me hear you say, yeah.
Say, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out the way.
Are you ready? Come on!
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Say, Jesus, take the wheel.
Complain.
It's so easy to complain.
Come on.
Addicted to the pain.
Yeah.
You give your heart, they push it away.
But somebody that'll never leave you.
Jesus knows just how you feel.
Yes,
just let him take the wheel. The love you need, he already gave.
But the question is,
do you want to be happy?
Took a long time, but I'm ready. Thank you, Lord. Every day, ask yourself,
do you want to be happy?
Yes. Pull over. Let him drive.
I just want to be happy.
Trying to hustle hard, but don't nobody want to talk about God. Trying to get it in, we trying to win. but don't nobody seem to know where to begin. Hey. Well, I'ma tell you something, I hope you listening. Life gets better when Jesus is your friend. You can tell him anything, he'll tell you everything. No competition, how you win it every day. Shining bright, going hard, living big, like a star. Ain't trying to get it, already got it. And there ain't nothing no one can do about it. We living that best life. 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 We living, we living. Now I can understand. You on a mission. Yeah. Now I can understand.
I
you got ambition. You've been dreaming big since you was a kid. Waiting for the dream to come alive so you can live.
Oh,
well, I'ma tell you something. I hope you listening. Life gets better when Jesus is your friend. When you give him everything, he'll give you everything. No competition. How you win it every day.
Right. Hey.
Going hard.
Going hard.
Living big.
Living big.
How you feel?
What up, though? You are listening to the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. So glad that you're on with us today. Listen, if you're not following me on social media, I'm going to need you to do that. At Bishop Foreman on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Snapchat, it's Dr. Dr. Kevin Foreman. Today, talking with my friend Dr. Ramos.
All right. Oh, Shonda. Got it.
Look, yeah, I got it. Look. But, you know, when you're in the South, we kind of change things around a little bit, so it's Ramos. But anyway, you're asking me some questions. We're doing what you asked. You guys wanted to know more about Bishop Foreman, so he's asking me some questions. My friend Bishop Bright did it on last week's show, and so we're just changing it up a little bit, and Dr. Ramos has got some questions for me. We were talking about lacking water and all that. So you have got, sir, you have got two more segments where you get to run the show. So, boom, whoop, that is in your hands.
All right. So listen, before break, you had mentioned that you like food, you like to eat, and me as well, which you know I love food. I love all types. But what types of foods do you like? Do you like spicy, non-spicy? What? Give us an idea of what would be an enjoyable meal for Bishop Kevin Foreman.
You know what? Really, again, so here's the deal. I used to give my sister a tough time because she was a cheese fanatic. And then the danger of teasing anybody for anything is that you may become what you tease. That's a word right there. So I am like a cheese, you know, fanatic. And so I like things with cheese and dairy, which I'm trying to I'm making efforts to curb that too. But for lots of different reasons, you have to govern your own health accordingly to what makes sense for you. But I love cheese and dairy. And so I like food that's got cheese and dairy. so any of that is a good meal for me. And again, it's one of those things of I have restaurants and places I go where that's my thing, that's what I like.
My mother has, since I was young, hooked me on to spicy foods. And so I like food that's got spice, it's got bold flavors. I like bold, I like spice. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of spice that where when you eat it. You took me to a Puerto Rican restaurant, and I poured something on that, whatever that thing was. And literally, that was the hottest I have ever experienced in my life, to the point to where I don't think my mouth cooled off until like that evening. I think that was like at 3. My mouth finally cooled off at like 9. But I really could enjoy. I could enjoy a variety of things. Bold flavors, good flavors, seasoned well. I love well-seasoned food. And so seafood, meat and potatoes, you know, that kind of deal. So I really could, I could enjoy it a lot.
Nice, nice. Now, what's your favorite color? What, you know, if you were going to pick something, what color?
Okay. Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do that question. Okay. So here's my favorite color. My favorite color is lime green. Now, here's the deal. I don't wear lime green very often at all. But it is certainly my favorite color. But I don't wear it very often at all. But that is my favorite color, lime green.
Wow. You know what, Bishop? I got to say, I've never met anyone or talked to anyone whose favorite color was lime green. That's a reason.
I bet. Right. It's just my favorite. It's my favorite color.
Okay. Well, you know what? When you had made a trip to Chicago a while back, and I had the opportunity to spend time with you and talk, and you know, we hung out and all that good stuff, and we went to a couple of different restaurants and things of that nature. And so, like you just mentioned, we also went to a Puerto Rican restaurant and we had some meals there. We played like a little smorgasbord of restaurants, to be honest.
That's true. You were trying to make me go back to my Big Juicy day. That's what you were trying to do. Because you know, we left the pizza restaurant to go to the Puerto Rican restaurant, to go to the South African or whatever the food was, a restaurant, or Portuguese, whatever it was. I said, my God, is he trying to fatten me up? I said, the devil is alive.
Well, see, so that the listeners will understand why. Bishop was only in Chicago for a short amount of time, and I was trying to give him a taste of Chicago. And so we went to a variety of – yeah, and we only had a taste of everything that I felt he would enjoy that Chicago's pretty much known for. And so I wasn't trying to, you know, get Bishop in trouble or anything. I was just trying to give him that taste.
Great hospitality. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. So let me tell you, Bishop, in relationship to living in Denver, you are in Denver, do you ski? Right.
You know what? I've never gone skiing. I've never gone snowboarding. I just, at this stage, that's just not my thing. And so that's just not my thing. I know people who do and know people who love it and enjoy it. I am one who, I don't really enjoy the cold that much. And I know. The next statement is going to be, why in the world do you live in Denver? Listen, you just got to obey God and follow God's assignment. Just shut your mouth regardless of where it's at. You just got to do it. So I am enjoying my obedience to the Lord, and that's the deal. But now in that, right, I'm not a big fan of the cold. I'm not a big fan of, listen, I hate wearing coats. So I'm not a big fan of coats. In fact, you know, my team will sometimes, you know, say, oh, sir, it's cold. You know, I I'm not wearing no coat. Move that out of my way. I don't want to do all that. And so those types of things can happen. So I'm not a fan of the snow, not a huge fan of the cold.
Yeah.
So, no, I do not ski because, to me, all you're doing is that's like going into a torture tube of cold and ice and snow and all of that. And so I can't knock it because I haven't tried it, so I will ski at some point soon.
Okay. I'll make sure of that. Next question. Let's touch on fashion a little bit. All of your listeners know Bishop. When Bishop steps out, Bishop's clean, as the State Board of Health, as they used to say when I was coming out. But one thing that I know is that Bishop really enjoys wearing his sunglasses. he really enjoys wearing his sunglasses to the fact that he'll even wear them at night. So my question is, what got you into this? I don't want to say fetish of sunglasses, but what got, can you even say that? But what got you so hooked on sunglasses? Because you really like them.
Well, right. I don't think you can say right. I think fetish is an inappropriate word. You need to lift your hands and ask God to forgive you.
Forgive me, Lord. Shut up.
No, but I know what you mean. This is the so here's the, I used to never wear sunglasses, ever. But what was happening, because I was always squinting and getting, what do they call it, crow's feet on the side of my eyes, because I was always squinting because I would never wear sunglasses. I just would never wear them. And then I said, you know, I got to stop doing that. I need to make sure that I'm, you know, taking good care of my skin and eyes and all that. And so I started, and so I did that. And the reality is that, you know, many of them, we have some awesome harvesters, and many of them, you know, people have sent, people have blessed me with, people have given us gifts, and so we're just so blessed to have great people that. And so it's been awesome. And you're right, I it's become such a habit now. They are on my head generally most of the time. Sometimes I have, and it was just so funny. One time I was teaching our dream team at our Harvest Church to Royal location, and I was teaching our dream team. I walked out with the sunglasses on my head because it was the evening time, and I started playing with the sunglasses like they were almost prescription. Like I would put them down on my eyes, I would move them back up. And if you've ever watched the preacher who's got glasses on, they're always messing with their glasses. They're taking them off, they're pulling them down, they're taking them off their face, they're putting them. And I was like, this is so funny that I'm messing with these sunglasses like these are real glasses. So so much so, one night, it was a Wednesday after church. That's what you were trying to throw shade about. But it was one Wednesday after church, and I literally, it was dark because after church, it was like 9 o'clock, 8:45, 9 o'clock, something like that. I get in my car, and my assistant is there with me. He says, sir, it's nighttime. You don't need your sunglasses on. I literally just out of force of habit just put them on. And I was like, it's so dark out here. And so it's because I forgot that they were on. So.
Oh, that's hysterical.
So listen, that's a good point. That's a good point. We got one more segment left, guys. We're going to be right back after this. Damn, to throw some shade at me for my sunglasses. We got one more segment left. It's going to be good. You're listening to the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Maybe I succeeded a little. I jumped up from the floor to the middle. You think I want the credit? I don't. 'Cause the glory ain't made for me, no. I know who sits on the throne, who makes the stage and writes the songs. And I know I couldn't do this on my own. And as much as I complain, I've seen more sunshine than rain. And I could thank my lucky stars, but that's not where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chance. But truth is, I'm not lucky, I'm lucky. So I fall to my knees and I say that I'm grateful when every morning starts. So I don't thank my lucky stars, 'cause that's not where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chance. But truth is, I'm not lucky, I'm loved. So I don't think my luck is
Cause that's not where my blessings are, nor they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chance, but truth is I'm not lucky in love.
Today, really, this has been the second installation of the questions for me. You all wanted to know more about me, and so we just wanted to provide a couple of shows to give you an opportunity to learn more about me, not just the ministry, but the man, and not just the man of God, but the man. And so lots of great questions that have come forth. Last week, Bishop Bright did it, and this week, Dr. Ramos is doing it. Oh. And hey, have you figured out, if you remember, if y'all have been listening faithfully, you'll know the first time we had him on, I was trying to teach him a Southern saying that we have in Memphis called "Ain't It Man." Have you been working on that? Let's hear it. Let's hear your best one. Let's hear it.
Ain't it man?
Come on here. Won't God do it? Yes.
That's not a word. Yes. That's not a word.
But, no, it is a word in Memphis and in many Southern places. It is a word. And so, good. I'm so proud of you. Look at your growth. Ain't God working? Yes, so there you go. Ain't it man, just for my listeners who are brand new to the show or you don't know, ain't it man is something we say in Memphis. And it's like our way of saying, again, I was born in Denver, reared in Memphis, and so it's like our way of, and then returned to Denver, but it's like our way of saying it's agreement. So like you say, church so was good, you'd be like, ain't it man. You're like, Bishop so they preach, ain't it man. You're like, woo, that's going to be some good eating, ain't it man. It's like our way of saying, I agree with you, right? And so I'm very proud. Look at your progress and your growth. I'm going to give you the show. You got this last couple of minutes on today's show. Boom, it's in your corner.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Ain't it main? Listen, Bishop, now you've done a tremendous job. I want to get a little serious again, as I was at the very beginning, just to motivate someone. You've done an excellent job, as you've stated and you've shared in the past, as far as dropping 95 pounds, you have maintained it. You have done great, and as you know, I've been working on some things as well. And there are so many people who are out there trying to get the motivation, the inspiration, and you don't always get what you need from those closest around you all of the time. As you were saying, just because we share the same DNA doesn't mean that we're heading in the right direction. What was your motivating factor? What gave you what you needed to do it, even past the temptation, even past the naysayers, the doubters? What motivated Bishop Kevin Foreman?
Now, what motivated me in what way? To teach in what way?
To drop the 95 pounds, to take better care of your health.
You know, it was super simple. We were at the end of a 21-day Daniel fast, and I watched a documentary. I can't even tell you the name of it because I don't recall it. I tried to find it vigorously thereafter and could not. So I would think it was divine. It was on there that day, and it was divine for me to see it that day because I can't find it. I couldn't even tell you the name. But I watched it, and it challenged me to make some changes in my eating. So immediately, that was a Sunday afternoon, immediately that Monday, I stopped eating fast food. I stopped eating after 6 o'clock. The reason for that was because, you know, I was always eating late, and I was normally always eating something quick and convenient just because of the way my schedule is built. And so, you know, I'd be eating late, and as I'm eating late, I'm having food that, you know, it's convenient, but that food, according to that documentary, that food wasn't food. And so, you know, it was a bunch of chemicals made to be food, according to that documentary. And so, consequently, what I did was I changed my eating, stopped eating after 6, lots of other things that I did. And in fact, I'm getting ready to release a coaching program where I'm going to coach people into fitness the same way I did it. So in the first 4 months, I lost 75 pounds. And for me, you know, some people say, oh, that's extreme. You can eat, you can do this. And I'm always the type that I hold myself to a certain level and standard, and that's just what it is. And so I don't believe in bringing it down because other people think it's too high. And to encourage somebody listening today, you know, pushing yourself to be better and to do more, there's nothing wrong with that. Just as long as it doesn't turn into shame and to condemnation, there's nothing wrong with that. If you listen to the culture, you can't change what you desire to conform to. I'm going to say that again. You cannot change what you desire to conform to. And so to be a leader, to be out front, that means you can't conform to what's behind you. And so to every leader that's listening, to every influencer that's listening, you got to understand that if God's desire for you to influence, but to influence, you cannot conform to. And so that's just what drove me. So I watched that documentary. I made the changes. I literally said, now that I know better, I got to do better. I made the changes. And like I said, we're going to be releasing this coaching program. People can connect to it. They'll see it through all of our social media channels on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Bishop Foreman. So great, great segue to that. But I literally held myself accountable to doing that. And I realized some people, you need somebody else to do it. And listen to me, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with needing somebody to help you remain accountable. Because for most people, it's not that they don't know what to do. They just don't have anybody to hold them accountable to do it. And so that's what that coaching program is going to do for people. And if you want to find out more about it, again, just hop on social media, and I will be your fitness and health coach to get you where you want to go in a relatively short amount of time, you know, should you follow the coaching. But the truth is that literally I lost the first 75 pounds in less than 4 months. I sort of found out on accident because I was teaching a leadership deal up in the mountains here in Denver. I did not ski. I was teaching a leadership thing, and as I was doing that, we had been casual that summer, and so this was a formal event, and so a professional rather style event, and so I went to put my suit on. As I put my suit on, I thought, oh my God, they have packed the wrong suit because this is not my suit. It was falling off. The jacket
really
looked like it was a jacket for a totally different person. The pants were literally like sagging with the belt all the way looped around. I was like, oh my God, what's wrong? I said, I can't believe this man and brought me somebody else's suit. I said, this is crazy. And it wasn't that. I had lost so much weight and I didn't even know it. And because when I started making not just those changes, but some other ones that I'm going to coach people through, when I started making those changes, I started shedding the weight. And most importantly, being healthy. Because, you know, I was with a gentleman just yesterday, and he said, so you must work out like 2-3 times a day. You're just so fit and so in shape and so, you know, just so, you know, all those things. And I said, you know what? I actually don't. I said, I have a routine that I follow that's gotten me good results, and I would love to show that to so many people through that coaching program. So, but I have to motivate myself. And for some of you listening, the reason you're listening and connected to things, Mr. Kevin Foreman, is because I become a motivation for you. And that goes back to your first question, what drives me? That's what drives me.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm sure that has helped someone. You are a motivation and an inspiration to so many, my friend. So I appreciate that. And I think we have time for one more at the very least. So you like to travel. You don't always have the time, as I know, to travel. So my question is this. What would a dream holiday look like for Bishop Kevin Foreman?
You know, that's a great question. A dream holiday. Good food, good people, good surroundings, great weather. no snow. Come on here. That would be it. Nice and simple. Simplicity is key. So many times people complicate life thinking that the more complicated, the better, and it's not. I've discovered, for me, the simpler, the better.
Okay, okay. So do you like driving? Do you like flying? Tell us, what do you prefer? If you could drive or fly someplace, either or, which would you do?
Well, it depends. You know what? I'm in my car a lot, so I drive a lot. I'm on the phone a lot already. You know, it depends. If we're talking a couple of hours, I don't mind driving. If we're talking, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, I know some people like taking road trips. I'm not that guy, right? We don't need to figure out another way. We're gonna need to helicopter here. We're gonna need to fly here. Listen, we're gonna need to do something, but that's too long. And because I like to drive, because I think many people are kind of passive in their driving, and I just believe in being assertive in my driving. That it becomes difficult to sit back and let somebody else drive because I'm going to be like, oh, my God, move over here. Oh, my God, why are you driving so slow? Oh, my God, move over. There you go. So good questions, my friend. My goodness. Listen, guys, we've been having a good conversation. You wanted to know more about me, so we brought you a couple of episodes to learn more about me. Stay connected to me, and especially if you want to go on this fitness coaching journey with me, I will coach you into weight loss and fitness and all those things, doing the same things that I did that helped me lose 95 pounds all naturally. Listen to me, all naturally, and doing it in a healthy way. Your body's better, your focus is better, your skin's better, everything's better. You get things done, and so it's such a blessing. In fact, all of the old stuff that I used to wear when I was heavier, I was able to give all of that away and be a blessing to so many people. All the suits, all the shoes, because when you lose weight, your foot will lose weight too, because a lot of your foot is fat. I didn't know that until I said, how in the world did my shoe size change? But anyway, so many great things that we do. Thank you, my friend, for interviewing me today. I appreciate you. Listen, guys, it's going to be an incredible show next week, and we're so excited about it. Until next time, you will listen to the Bishop Kevin Foreman Radio Show. Connect with me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BISHOPFOREMAN. Shalom, everybody. Have a great day.